John chapter 11. The messages for last week and this week are friends in life and in death. We considered friends in life last week. Today, friends in death. I want to read several passages and then bring others to your attention. So John 11, first of all. Verse 6. When therefore he, the Lord Jesus, heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode at that time 2 days in the place where he was. And in verse 11, these things spake our Lord, and after this he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus is fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples therefore said unto him, Lord, if he is fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he spake of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus therefore said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Thomas, therefore, who is called Didymus, said unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now, chapter 19. Please notice, the verse I read was Christ, the friend at the death of others, but now friends at the death of Christ. Chapter 19, verse 25. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. But there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Verse 38. And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked of Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He therefore came and took away his body. And there came also Nicodemus, who at the first came to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes that with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb wherein was never man yet laid. There then, because of the Jews' preparation, for the tomb was nigh at hand, they laid Jesus. And I will read just one passage to you in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Look there. Chapter 1. Naomi has exhorted both Ruth and Orpah to go back home to their parents, to their gods. But look at verse 15. She said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, and to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking to her. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that you tell us about how to live a life pleasing in your sight, but also acceptable in the sight of our fellows on earth, among men and women. We thank you for the passages that we've read. They're so light about us, Father. Friendship, love, responsibility, care. We pray that we shall take to heart these things that we've read, and that you shall give your servant wisdom in teaching the things that are contained in these passages, and that we shall be friends indeed, our God, not in word only. So prepare our hearts to receive the truth and lips to speak it, and give us a good, profitable, enjoyable time together. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I asked you last week whether you had many friends, and then I told you that there are probably fewer than you think. But at times, there are more than you think. Some you think are your friends in time of need and sorrow turn out to be not your friends. But at the same time, you discover that some that stayed in the background, that you did not think were very close to you, they come forward and they turn out to be more, and to be faithful, and to impress upon your heart memories that never will pass away because of a kindness shown in time of sickness, in time of need, and in time of death. So, you think, and I've heard people say this, that you need friends during your lifetime, but after that, it means nothing. In fact, I know two people, and one I've never understood, a young lady who was faithful to her mother her whole life long. Her mother lived to be an old woman. She took the best of care of her mother. But then we asked her, "How about your mother?" She said, "Oh, she died." I said, "Well, who took the funeral? How did things go?" She said, "I didn't attend the funeral. I didn't go to my mother's funeral. I did everything for her in life. I didn't think it was necessary for me to do anything for her in death." Isn't that a strange sentiment? And yet, this daughter could say her whole life long, "I've shown love and care." And I wonder if you can say that about your father and your mother. Because some who have shown little concern for their parents in life, when they die, at times they will come and attend the funeral. But what God says is this, that attention is to be paid to people in life and in death. Let me tell you about this. King Saul was imperfect in so many ways, but he fought for the nation of Israel, delivered them from many of their enemies. But at the last, he and his three sons were slain in battle, and their enemy took them, cut off their heads, and hung their bodies on the wall of the city. You say, well, that's the end of them. It says that some of the soldiers from Jabesh Gilead went all night long, fought this whole army of the Philistines, went and took those decapitated bodies down and prepared the bodies, and then went and buried them under an oak tree. And it touched the heart of David. He commended them for what they did. Who would risk their lives for somebody that's already dead, that respects might be paid to their burial? Why, the men of Jabesh Gilead, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and the women who followed the Lord Jesus. And so, you are not just to be a friend in life, but you are to be a friend in death as well. Let me tell you something that happened long ago. And the reason that I'm here preaching to you today is because a dear brother, Venus Brooks, saw a young man about 40 years ago, and he asked me to come down and help you dear ones in Pembroke. And so I've been here for all those years. Well, some years back, Venus died, and I live 100 miles away. But I said, I'm going to pay my respects in memory of Venus Brooks, what he means to me and what he means to the people in Pembroke. And so I drove down, and when I got here, our brother Luther Locklear was in charge of the funeral, and the place was so packed it was absolutely impossible for me to get in. And brother Luther would have gotten me in if he could, but he said, there's nothing I can do. But God had something else in mind. And from the platform, John Bramhall saw me and came up and said, Brother John, will you take part with me in the funeral? And so I didn't have to sit out there with you people. I came up here and sat on the platform. And John Bramhall said, I will preach and you pray. And our brother Cleo gave a eulogy that's so good, I hope he's around to talk about me when I die. And what happened was that God honored my desire to honor that man. And so John Bramhall preached, and others gave praise, and I was permitted to pray to God for his loved ones, for the blessing of his labor that he had spent on all of you down here. I think that was the least that I could do. But some, they care nothing about you. But others do. There is something sacred in time of death and of sickness, and there is an opportunity then for you to enter into the hearts of those whose hearts have been closed and hardened their whole life long. And I had an accusation brought against me many years ago by a young man. His father had died, and I had done what I could for the young boys as long as their father lived. I had been kind to them. And then when their father died, I did everything I could, but the sons wanted nothing to do with me. And later on, when their mother invited them to come to the meetings, one son said, I have no intention to go to the meetings because Mr. Mills, when my father died, paid no attention to me. He took no interest in me. I tried my whole life long to get that young man interested in the things of God, and I went and showed him kindness. I visited his father when his father was on his deathbed. But then, he said, he paid no attention to me after my father died. I say that I am innocent of that charge. I would have done what I could But I want you to understand that people have thoughts and minds what you should do for them, not only in life, but also after their fathers are dead and friends are dead. They expect it of you. And then when you hear a report like that and go and say, I'm here to help you any way that I can. And his answer was, no, you did not help me at first, and so I'm not interested in your help now. And so he's been faithful. He has abandoned God since that time. So I want you to understand that it is important. I tried in life, and after death, I would have done what I could for that young man. But he had it understood that I didn't pay enough attention to him. Well, what happens is this. There are some who pay attention to you in life and in death. And what is so beautiful about the life of our Savior is this, that he cared for people in life and in death. One of the most moving passages in the Bible is John 11, when Lazarus, a man whom Jesus loved, Lazarus' friend, was sick. And the Lord Jesus knew all that was going to come to pass. And he said to his disciples, he said, Lazarus, our friend, is sick. You see the importance of that. The Lord Jesus could have separated himself from his disciples and said, Lazarus, my friend, or Lazarus, your friend. But he said, Lazarus, our friend. And that's most important. It means this, that if one of you is sick and you are my friend, the Lord Jesus says, this man, our friend, is sick. The Lord Jesus cares about you, and brothers and sisters in Christ care about you, but it is always Christ, in addition to the people of God, care about you, because it speaks, and if you're able to find one, it is remarkable. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Where do you find such a friend? Well, if among men they are so rare, there is one who always sticks closer than a brother, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to his disciples, I am your friend. And he told what was expected of us being his friend. He said, now you keep my commandments. But the Lord Jesus said, I am your friend. And I would tell you this, I will anticipate this, that the Lord Jesus was a friend in life and in death and after death as well. Here is Lazarus, and while our Savior is alive, he says, our friend Lazarus is sick. I'm going to visit this man. And he took his disciples with him. I think of this. I think of Stephen, the one who stood up and boldly denounced the sins of Israel and spoke of the glories of Jesus Christ. And when the Israelites heard that, they took stones and they destroyed this man who was a friend of Jesus. And I said that Jesus was a friend in life and he was a friend in death. And when Stephen was dying, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus, when Stephen was dying in heaven, was looking down upon him and comforting him. And that is why there is no friend like Jesus Christ. And if you do not have him as your friend, then you're without hope. Now think, here is Jesus, who during the lifetime of Lazarus was his friend. He fellowshiped with him. And when Lazarus was sick and at the point of death, the Lord Jesus was on his way to the abode of Lazarus. And when he died, the Lord Jesus was there at the funeral of Lazarus. And now, when Stephen is dying, the Lord Jesus in heaven is still concerned with the people of God. When they suffer and when they die, It's not that the Lord Jesus is oblivious in heaven as to what is going on. He is aware of you in your sickness and when your loved ones die. And you do not see him as Stephen did, but he is there. And this is what it says in Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so the Lord Jesus is one to whom you are precious in life, because he laid down his life for the sheep, and you are precious to him in death. And he's going to prepare a place for you, and he's coming again to receive you to himself. But I want you to understand that those who do suffer and those who die, it is not that Christ has abandoned you, but Christ is aware in heaven, and he knows precisely how long you're going to suffer, and he knows the day of your death. This is what he said to those at Smyrna. He said, "The devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. He knew exactly how long they were going to suffer. He said, "Be thou faithful unto death." He was going to let them die in that suffering. He said, "And I will give thee the crown of life." And so understand that the Lord Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die, and he stayed away 4 days until he had died and his body had begun to decompose. It was all in the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not that he did not care. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And he waited for the appropriate time that the lovers of Lazarus, the brothers and sisters and friends, all of them, might see the glory of God. This is what he said to Martha when she was afraid when Christ was going to do something that no one ever conceived of. He said, "Take away the stone." "No, no." The Lord Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so she stepped back and let them do what the Savior wanted to do. And the stone was removed, and all he said was this, "Lazarus, come forth." And death was conquered, because the Lord Jesus tells us concerning Lazarus, and he tells us concerning all mankind, "The hour cometh when they that are in the tomb shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall come forth." And then he tells us the destinies of both. And so the Lord Jesus is your friend in life, and the Lord Jesus is your friend in death. And I've asked that of God. I do not think I'm worthy, and I have little faith that it shall come to pass, but I said, "Lord, when the time comes for me to die, it would be an excellent thing if you gave me a glimpse of heaven before I die and go there." I know of only one that had that glimpse, and then I know of John, who was caught up to heaven, but only Stephen, he was worthy of Christ. But I've seen heaven many times when saints die, and Christ has let me see it that way. But Christ is your friend in life, in death, and after death. He is the indispensable friend, because if I were Venus Brooks' friend in life and in death, what could I do for him after that? But the Lord Jesus could do for you in life and death and after death, and he is that indispensable friend. But what concerns us most are the friends and what they do for us in life. Let me tell you about the greatest friendship in the Old Testament, that of David and Jonathan. But I want to tell you about other friendships to show you the great variety of friendships. There was the friendship of Ruth and Naomi. And then in the New Testament, there is the friendship of the Lord Jesus with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and John, the beloved apostle, and ever so many of the women whose lives he had blessed. Now think of this. Friends. Well, who is going to be my friend? Well, let me get another man about my age who has my interests That's the kind of friend that I want. Somebody that can contribute. Someone who can enter into things with me and share things with me. Not at all. Tell me, what interest does a young woman have with an old woman who is too old to get married anymore, not able to have children? What interest could a young woman have in an old woman like that? Why, one of the most beautiful friendships in the Old Testament is that of a young woman, Ruth, with a mother-in-law, Naomi. So think of that. How many jokes have been told about in-laws? And yet, here is a young woman, Ruth, a Moabite. And you read in the Bible about how they are alienated from the children of Israel. But it says concerning Ruth, this Moabite, she has come to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. And so she had renounced her past. And what had happened was this. She whose name was Naomi said, I want you to call me Mara, bitter, because bitterness has come into my life. And she went down to a foreign country in time of famine, and her husband died. And then her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were married. Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpah. And then they lived for 10 years. And then Mahlon and Chilion died. And there was nothing left for this old woman to do but to go back to the land that she had left, because she had heard that God was giving them good crops. And so she wanted to go back. And as she started to leave, she spoke to her daughters-in-law and said to them, now go back home to your mothers, to your gods, return to your old way of life, because there's nothing I can do for you. I can't get married again. I cannot produce other sons to marry you. You go back to your old way of living. Now Orpah shed tears and went back home. But then that beautiful declaration of Ruth concerning her friendship and attachment to Naomi. Entreat me not to leave thee nor to depart from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where you die, I will die. Nothing is going to separate us. Can you imagine such a thing? But she owed everything to a mother-in-law. I told you about the Apostle Paul and Philemon. He asks Philemon a request. He says, I want you to do something for Onesimus, whom I've led to the Lord. I want you to be kind to him. Do this favor for me. He said, but let me remind you that you owe me everything. You owe me your life, because I have led you to Christ, and your eternal welfare is dependent upon my interest in you. Now do me a favor. And the difference between Orpah and Ruth was this, that perhaps she had not taken to heart everything that Naomi had told her. But Ruth had, and she heard about the one true God, the God of Israel, all the hopes bound up with the promises of God to the nation of Israel. And Ruth said, that is the God I want to be my God. And you are the one who told me about that God, and I shall never let you escape me. I will follow you as long as I live. Now, I told you about friends last week that you should never make. There are some that you call your friends, and they will lead you to destruction. But if you have a friend that has told you about salvation that is in Christ, the love of God, the truths in the Scripture, adhere to that friend. Never lose them as a friend. And if you do, then you will continue to be blessed. To think that Ruth, in her lost condition, in her own country, had someone sent from the promised land to her country and told her about salvation, and she embraced that salvation. And then God had more for her. She followed faithfully this woman, Naomi, a friendship that was inseparable. And she went with her back to the promised land. And it worked out that Boaz set his eye upon her and married her. And they begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And eventually, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the offspring of David. You see that friendship? Suppose Ruth had taken the opportunity to remain and go back and look for a husband among the Moabites, then this never would have happened. But now Ruth is a grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ because here was a friendship, and she said, nothing is going to separate us. And so if you have a friend that has led you to Christ, that wants you to go on for the Lord, never let that friend get away from you wherever they go. Go. Yes, if necessary, if they are going to a place that they can teach you and you can be with them, or else they will leave you in a heathen land, pull up stakes and go with them. Why? Because that's what friends are for. And if you have a friend, even though she was an imperfect friend, still Naomi had the knowledge of God, and she had the blessing in store for Ruth, because they were relatives of hers, and she knew the laws and the requirements about marriage in the nation of Israel. So think of that. Now, I wanted to tell you about the friendship of Jonathan and David, because they were friends in life, and this is what David said concerning their friendship in life. He said, Jonathan, he said, your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. And so there is among men a pure love, not this vile love that the world knows about, but this friendship that has a love and an affection and a nearness that can be more than that of the love of a man for a woman. And David said, this is my love for you. And so he wrote the Song of the Bow, this poem in Samuel. Here is this poem that he wrote when Saul, the king of Israel, and his son Jonathan died. He wrote that poem, and he expressed how much love he had in his heart for Jonathan, and Jonathan had as much love in his heart for David. Why? Because Jonathan was to be the next king of Israel, but Jonathan had learned from God that he was not going to be king, but David was going to be king. And he said, I'm quite content to let you be king. And he said, I will be next to you. That was the sacrifice of the friendship of Jonathan for David. And the friendship of David for Jonathan, why, his love was as great. But I told you about some who love you in life and in death and beyond. And David loved Jonathan beyond his death. After Jonathan died, he sent word, and Saul had a servant named Ziba. We call him Ziba. Here is this servant, and David calls him, and he says, are there any descendants left of the house of Saul that I may show them kindness? And Ziba says to him, why, Jonathan has a son in Lodibar named Mephibosheth. And David says, bring him to me. And because of David's friendship for Jonathan in life and in death, after death, he says, I'm going to care for his son. And so Mephibosheth, lame in the feet, is brought into the presence of the king. And David says, everything that belonged to your father and grandfather, he said, I give them to you. And he said, and you're going to sit at my table and eat with me your whole life long. Now, is that friendship that is a friendship indeed? And so there's somebody that are your friend in life, but then that friendship disappears in death. But there are some who love you in life and in death and after your death. That is a friend indeed. And the Lord Jesus is such a friend. And also, what I would have you to understand is that concerning our Savior, the only ones who were His friends in life and in death without variation were women. You read that when Christ was arrested in the garden, Matthew and Mark tell us that all His disciples forsook Him and fled. The testimony of the faithlessness for a moment of even those apostles closest to Him. But then, one of those apostles followed Him afar off. That was Peter. And another apostle, John, took courage and he followed the Lord Jesus to the very cross. And we are told about the women. They never forsook the Lord Jesus and fled. It simply says that they saw Him afar off. And then some of the women are named, and they took courage, and they were at the foot of the cross when Jesus was being crucified. And among them were His mother and His mother's sister, and Mary, the mother of Cleopas, and also Mary Magdalene. These were women that were faithful. John had fled, and he had come back. These women had never forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there. And when Christ was dying, these women were there to give Him what comfort they could. But more than that, after the Lord Jesus died, of these women, it said they saw where Jesus was buried, and they went and purchased spices, and they were going to come back and pay respects to the body of Jesus after He was dead. They were faithful in life, and they were faithful also in death. And thank God for this. Some of you who are cowards, you are secret disciples. When is the last time you stood up and said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? Or when the name of Christ is mentioned and Christianity is spoken of, you hide. Well, what happens is this. Joseph of Arimathea had been a secret disciple of Jesus. He had never done anything wrong, but he had never come out boldly for Christ. And when he died, he went and besought Pilate for the body of Jesus. Asked him boldly for it, and Pilate gave him the body. And also Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, he also was a disciple in the background, but he was still Jesus' friend in life. And when Jesus died, courage filled their hearts, and they came and paid their respects to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John, you see how they lavished this attention upon the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the kind of friend that the Lord Jesus wants us to be. A friend in life, and a friend in sickness, and a friend in death. There is an opportunity when a person is sick and at the point of death for you to go and speak to that person. I remember one that I had known, and he was one who worked in a restaurant. He worked in the kitchen preparing the food, and I had known him, and he was sick and had cancer and was at the point of death. And I went to visit him in the hospital, and he was amazed. He said, John, you are here. And I said, yes. I heard you were sick, and I came to speak to you. And I told him clearly about the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope that was His for all who were sick and near death, that the Lord Jesus Christ loved him and would receive him into heaven. I consoled him and gave him comforting words and words of hope. And that man died just a short while later. He was not approachable that way in life, but when he was at the point of death, he was approachable. And this is what God would have us to know. And when one dies, and then relatives at that time can be reached in a way that they cannot be reached in life. And I think of the funerals that I've conducted of infants. I've been there and conducted the funerals of young people and old people, men and women, saved and unsaved, and always they have an open ear at that time. And if someone is unsaved and they say, will you take that funeral? Yes, but I must tell the truth. Do you know that your son, your husband, do you know that they were believers in Christ? No, I'm not sure. Well, I will tell the truth. And so I say plainly, here is one, and we do not know of his profession of faith in Christ, but this is the wonderful portion that's his if he did trust Christ. And then you tell them also what happens if he neglects so great salvation. But there are opportunities in life to show your friendship. Show that friendship. And there are opportunities in death as well. Be a friend in life and in death. Let us pray.